Welcome to the CCTA Wake Up Call Show. Thank you for joining us. I ask you to visit our sponsors and supporters and let them know that you heard about them on the CCTA Wake Up Call. My name is Bob Griswold.
Mary Griswold.
Lori Buckout, candidate for North Carolina 1.
Pat Park.
Kim Fink.
Glenn Fink.
Now, the CCTA is a 501c3 organization. We're not allowed to endorse candidates. However, we can have individual opinions, and we can bring the candidates on. Thank you, Lori, for coming on with us. We appreciate your coming out.
My pleasure.
So tell us a little bit about your campaign, why you're running, and you.
Okay, great. So I'm running for North Carolina's 1st Congressional District, of course. It has been redistricted to an R plus 5. So what does that mean? Last year in 2024, it was basically a toss-up. 50-50 voters who were, you know, pretty much likely to vote Republican or Democrat. We have since brought in the fabulous counties of the South. So down here with you all, Craven, Carteret, we've got Pamlico, Beaufort, Hyde, and all these great counties down here are much more Republican. You guys are fabulous down here.
And a little corner of Onslow County.
And my little corner and Swansboro, which is fabulous as well. So we have been blessed with some really great people and some really beautiful counties, and those are more Republican, as great people tend to be. Is that a bad thing? No, I'm just going to say it. So at any rate, it's now a Republican-leaning district, meaning that if we bring out the vote, and everyone brings out the vote as we should, we're going to win this.
And that's the key, is bringing out the vote.
Show is. Absolutely is. Yep, that's the key, getting out the vote, getting all the Republicans fired up, making sure that everyone understands the House is in the balance.
You know, I'm going to add one other thing. Folks, when you come out, vote from the top of the ballot all the way down to the bottom of the ballot.
Those judges.
You got to do the whole ballot.
That's right. Don't stop at the first couple. We've got to get Michael Whatley in as senator. And all the way down, and we have to get those conservative judges, county commissioners, sheriffs. I mean, the DSA is real. The Democrat Socialists are real, and they are trying to take over the Democrat machine. Frankly, they have been shockingly successful. So we have to fight back hard.
Mm-hmm. It's scary to think what would happen if the Senate or if the House got into Democrat control. Because all the things that we've seen, all the good things that President Trump has done in the past 2 years, unfortunately have not been codified by Congress.
Nope.
And can very easily go away.
Look at that closed border. Mm-hmm. Look at the fact that we've got so much less fentanyl. We don't have fentanyl flowing in anymore because the president has stopped it. Look at the massive downspikes in crime. In violent crime all across the nation, but especially in our big cities where the president has gone in and put forces into, you know, especially get these blue big city mayors under control and make them protect their own people.
The mainstream media can't seem to figure out why crime has fallen.
Have you seen that?
You deport criminals.
Right.
But then the crime rate fell.
Isn't that odd? I wonder
what that was about.
Many of us here are fans of wall builders David Barton and Rick Green and have taken many historical classes on founding fathers, founding documents. You being military are strong on oaths.
I am.
I have a question about the oath of office because these DSA candidates are running on destroying the Constitution.
They are.
So aren't they committing high crimes and misdemeanors the second they take the oath of office?
I think they absolutely are. I think that's a great way to put it. Now, I will say, as a retired colonel, my oath is lifelong, meaning I can be recalled to active duty until, my veteran friends are nodding, until the day I die, I can be recalled to active duty to answer for crimes that are done even after I so-called retire, because you remain a servant of the United States of America. So my oath to support and defend the Constitution against all enemies, foreign and domestic, so help me God, is for lifetime. And I am fulfilling that, I hope, every day. I certainly try to.
I appreciate that.
Thank you, ma'am. But I agree with you that these DSA folks are going after our Constitution, literally.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, that, and the DSA is they're expressing their dissatisfaction with the Democrat Party as such.
I know.
So because I guess the Democrat Party doesn't have any real platform that they're willing to stand on.
Well, you know, they don't. It's always been counter-Trump. I mean, what are they going to stand on? Let's make our girls into boys. Let's have nothing but illegal aliens here, and let's have a lot of crime. That's what they've been standing for.
Yep.
And the socialists want something more dramatic.
One of the things that I really enjoyed this weekend was this is America's 250th anniversary.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to celebrate that. That's mm-hmm. important. And that race through Washington was such fun. And the whole idea of just, you know, let's just have fun. That's, you know, there's a place for seriousness, but let's celebrate the country. Let's celebrate who we are.
It's very Trumpian.
We are the happy warriors.
Yeah.
And Mary was surprised when I said, no, they had to weld down 300 manhole covers.
Oh.
No surprise here.
Yeah, I bet they did. Holy moly.
Because the cars going over them so fast, it flips them up.
Isn't that crazy, as heavy as those are? Uh-huh. Wow.
And if anyone was stupid enough to try to push one up and stick their head up when a car came by, that wouldn't be good either.
Would not.
You know, there's something in basic training that you go through. You literally are in a foxhole and a tank runs over you, right? And you're there between the treads and this tank is going over your foxhole, and as the tank passes over, you pop up like a gopher and you put a shoulder fired missile
right up the tailpipe
of the tank, so to speak. Now, did that ever happen in real life? I have no idea, but it was very interesting training to have a tank run over your head while you're sitting in a hole.
Did that happen to you in basic training?
Yes, sure did. I was in a hole with a tank running.
I went in 74 in the Air Force. We had makeup class.
Bless you.
No tanks.
Bless you. Oh, my goodness.
But she's dynamite with mascara.
I know. You know what? That's a deadly mascara wand.
That's right.
Kill a man with it. I like it.
So what else do we...
You mentioned, I've heard you mention the farming situation.
Yeah.
That Don Davis has made some claims about some things he supported that aren't necessarily what he's supporting. Mm-hmm. Can you explain that?
Well, he voted against the One Big Beautiful Bill, which has done more for farmers than any other piece of legislation in decades. Really has been very helpful to farmers. Don Davis has done things like voted for the Farm Bill. But here's the thing about Don Davis. He never makes a vote that is pivotal or that makes the big difference. He always votes very safely. He checks in with Hakeem Jeffries and like, hey, can I vote this way? Now, if a vote's sure to go Democrat, with or without his vote, they will let him vote Republican so he can show he's quote-unquote bipartisan. And if the vote's going to, you know, whether it's going to win or lose, he's never the guy who makes the difference, because Don Davis will never stand up and fight for morals or ethics or his people. He's there to be safe and keep a safe seat for himself. I mean, you know.
He's the current Joe Manchin.
He is the bingo, exactly. You know what? Only he will vote whichever way the wind blows.
Yes, I asked you this before, but the commercials, the Don Davis commercials I see, he's bragging about a bill to keep fentanyl from crossing the border, which is like bragging after you close the barn.
Right, exactly. You know, that's exactly what it is. He didn't close the border. In fact, he voted against it.
Of course.
And he endorsed Kamala Harris, who was the border czar who failed, said she's going to make a great president. So everything he's done has been to allow illegal aliens and drugs to continue to flow over our border. And now that President Trump has closed the border and we're all taking care of it down there, now all of a sudden he's like, let's stop fentanyl.
I know.
He's desperately trying to be relevant and trying to show that he's actually done something for his constituents, but he remains do nothing Don.
Yeah. Clown show, like you said.
Clown show.
One of the things near and dear to all of us in this area is the commercial fishermen, and they're continually being targeted and attacked. The CCA is continually suing them, and a North Carolina judge has just ruled against them for the fisheries. The goal has been and will continue to be getting rid of all trawling in the Sounds and the Waters, and it seems like a lot of the people that are in office don't understand that it's lies that are being perpetrated, and that these guys are heavily regulated and self-regulating for the most part at their own expense. So I would like to know, it seems like here in the eastern part of this, the state specifically, we get overridden by Wake County and Mecklenburg County and
In state.
Right. So items, yeah. It feels like our voice is diluted by the time that we get to the big boys. So I want to know what your opinion is on helping to protect the commercial fishermen.
And I guess I'd add before you answer is that's bigger than just the fishing industry itself.
Right.
It is the people that sell the seafood. It's a significant employment beyond just the commercial fisher people.
Well, a lot of the commercial fishermen are small mom-and-pop things. They don't have the boat that's big enough to go to the ocean.
Right.
They make their living in the Sound. And in Edenton, they've had massive things in their Arbormoral Sound.
So, and I think going back to Bob Steinberg, when they were trying to shut down the shrimping industry down here previously, and he asked a very valid question. The last time you shut down the shrimping industry, tell us the measurable results of the shutdown. Oh, we don't have any of that stuff. So they're just picking these things out of thin air. And I would ask, does that same thing happen in the House now? And the answer is yes.
Well, that comes from federal policy. We saw that we watched in Massachusetts when we lived there, we watched New Bedford and Fall River, which were generational Portuguese fishermen, lose their businesses because of federal regulation. I don't want to see that kind of federal regulation come to North Carolina.
I think it's a mix of state and federal. I think as far as being outvoted by places like Wake County, I think that's where you need to fight for guys like Bob Brinson, who was there today, and fight for your local guys who are going to be able to put that up to the state house, the state legislature to fight for. As far as the federal guys go, one of the big things that we have to do that is going to help, all of our fishermen in the long run is to crack down on foreign seafood.
Yes.
That is a huge one. And that's going to help all of our folks across the United States, actually, because there are coalitions of shrimpers from all over the place. And cracking down on foreign seafood, but cracking down on the Chinese trawlers who are able to go offshore and rape our oceans. I hate to even use that word, but they do. Mm-hmm. They come after our, and then they try to sell it to us, or they try to sell us the stuff that's farmed in Indonesia or someplace like that. There was an instance where you had customs stop some seafood at one of the ports trying to come in that actually was contaminated in some form or fashion. Could have been with drugs, could have been with just plain pollution. But then that ship was able to go into another port and actually sell it at another port where they could sneak in. Should have been destroyed. So we have federal regulations to look at to encourage the use of fresh, home-caught American seafood.
And defend that industry, yes.
Mm-hmm.
When you get to Washington, what are your top three priorities?
Top three priorities, I would say the first one is really setting up some serious constituent services, because you don't know what you need to do until you've had some really good input from all of your constituents. Don Davis doesn't have that now. I've had so many people who have called me as a candidate, and unfortunately, I don't have any power right now, but they've called me as a candidate to get problems solved, whether it's with veterans, whether it's Social Security, whether it's school, whether it's disability advocates. There was a wonderful mom with a severely disabled son who can't get help. I know a family where their son cannot be on Medicaid because his disability is not quite to the level they expected, or that the family makes too much money. They're working four jobs. You got mom and dad both working two jobs. They sold one of their cars. I mean, they're barely making ends meet, so they can't get care for their son. So there are things like that we need to have solid constituent services, because you can't solve a problem until you know what it is, right? I think that's number one. Making sure you have smart people who are willing to listen and who are fired up and want to solve problems. Whenever I built a military team or any kind of team business team, people who work with me have got to be honest, they've got to be tough, they've got to be fired up and have a lot of energy. If my dad used to say, if you are not fired with enthusiasm, you will be fired with enthusiasm. So my dad was a hoot, but I want enthusiastic, fired up folks on my team, and we're going to have them.
I want to say I appreciate your enthusiasm because one of the things we have been fighting for years is apathy and voter apathy. And what will it take to get the people to come out? And a lot of people don't vote because they say, it's not going to make any difference. I voted last time. I voted the right way. And they get there and nothing happens. Or they get there and they start to play the game. And that's what I want us to focus on in all of our elections is what they did, not what they said.
I completely agree, and I'm ready to be highly accountable and stand on a record. From my years in the military and from my years running a business and being a mom, I will be accountable. I will be here, and I'm going to be accountable.
Folks, on that, we're going to take a quick break to hear from our sponsors and supporters. We ran a little bit over time, but we need to hear what's going on. This is CCTA Wake Up Call. Please join us at the CCTA Business and Social Meeting. We meet the fourth Thursday each month, Moore's Old Time Barbecue on Dr. MLK Boulevard in New Bern, 6:30 to 8 p.m. Your presence and participation are greatly appreciated.
Since 1952, the North Carolina Fisheries Association has been working to ensure access for fishermen and consumers to enjoy fresh local seafood. The North Carolina Fisheries Association is for fair, science-based fisheries management for commercial and recreational fishermen. If you agree with this philosophy, become a member. For more information, log on to ncfish.org. For fresh North Carolina seafood, there's no better place than B&J Seafood, Highway 70 East in New Bern.
Round here, folks like to talk to each other, get to know you, look you in the eye, and see that you care. We call it the human touch. Whether you were born here or moved here really doesn't matter as far as we're concerned. You're from round here, and since 1905, folks like you have been calling folks like us for their auto, home, life, and business insurance. So come see us, or just give us a call, and we'll get you the best insurance protection possible at a real affordable price. We're Robinson & Stith Insurance because when you really need help, you'll want somebody from round here.
Just who are these people doing this CCTA program? People in the community that love this country to protect individual liberty and to preserve the U.S. Constitution and free enterprise system. To learn more, go to cctaxpayers.com. That's cctaxpayers.com. Join Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association and make your voice heard.
Welcome back again. Thank you for listening to our sponsors and supporters and their ads again, welcome back. Lori, where do you want to take us now? We're going to ask, putting you on the hot
seat. Your third priority.
Okay, did I get my second one down? My first one is really constituent services, and that's abroad. And by the way, I can walk and chew gum at the same time, and all Congress members should be able to do that. So these are concurrent. So these are just kind of top three, but not necessarily sequential. We need to talk about jobs. All right, one of the biggest problems we have down, especially in a lot of the poorer counties, Turl, Bertie, Washington County, et cetera, Hyde, is that you don't have jobs, so you don't have a tax base, so you don't have services, so you don't have anybody going there.
Now, right now, we have a very large military retiree base, but we don't have the industry to support creating.
Preach. Okay, so this is something I think I'm good at. Number one, I'm a jobs creator, having built a business. Number two, with over 40 years in defense, I understand the fact that we need to bring more defense industry down here. I mean, it's a golden opportunity for it, both in Elizabeth City with the Coast Guard base and, of course, down here with Marine Corps Air Station Cherry Point and even helping the folks down at Lejeune. Defense folks bring jobs. National security is absolutely critical. Brings families
and education.
Down here, brings education, and it also supports retirees and veterans. I mean, it's just a win-win-win. And, of course, it supports the entire economy by improving the tax base.
Okay.
And your third?
Okay. That's also a list of focus areas. We need to focus on, of course, helping the military. So you get jobs. Helping veterans. We have over 80,000 veterans just in this district alone.
Really?
We need to up our veterans.
Didn't know we had that many.
We got a ton.
Yeah.
We need to up our veteran services. I think Trump has done great things with the Veterans Administration. There's need for improvement. You know, if you want to look at a model of socialized medicine, that is the VA. It's medicine that's paid for by somebody else. So, of course, it's problematic, right?
I'm going to add a firsthand thing. I had a hearing aid poop out on me July 4th. I brought it for repair July 6th. They got the approval August 10th.
From the VA.
From the VA to repair that hearing aid. It was finished, I think it was August 14th that I got it back. So
if you were in Canada, they would have just killed you. So, you know.
Euthanasia. So. Yeah. Can't hear, buddy. Here. Let us ease your pain.
Let us ease your pain.
Unfortunately, true.
It is true. And that's we can laugh, but that is socialized medicine. And there's
really
always.
Is.
And so, you know, I know of a lot of ways to improve it, having been a victim of it. And also having been somebody who understands how defense contracts work. So there are ways to improve it that I need to focus on. And, of course, farmers, working families, fishermen.
Because you grew up on a farm, right?
I sure did. I grew up on a cattle farm in the Shenandoah Valley, Hereford Angus cows, with mostly Angus cows and Hereford cows, the red ones with the white faces, mm-hmm. and a big black Angus bull named George. Who was not a nice George. He was a big Angus are not necessarily the friendliest cattle out there, and he was bad news.
When I grew up, our bull was Ferdinand.
Ferdinand, oh my, okay.
It was Holstein, though.
There you go. Yeah, Holstein's a better bull. Yeah, they're a sweeter bull.
Now, how much money is coming into this campaign? To Don Davis's campaign from out of state.
I'm really glad you asked that question because we actually have statistics based on his last quarterly FEC report. 91% is out of state. The majority of that is from California or New York.
Mm-hmm.
And we actually have Soros on his FEC report as donors. It's not George Soros, it's his son and family members who are actually supporting Don Davis.
Just so that we're fair, how does that compare with yours?
I think mine's about 80% in state. The majority is in state. And you guys have seen me out working hard across this district. I think everyone says, you're everywhere. And I'm everywhere because I have 22 and 23-year-olds running this campaign with me, and we just hop in the car, and they've got all that fraternity kid energy and go, 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 you know. So, but I'm about 80% in state. And last time I ran, it was that same proportion. So,
and that's important because we want to be able to say that we elected our representative, not that some out-of-state mm-hmm. interest purchased them.
Well, Don Davis has done a good job of not bringing jobs and keeping people poor. So poor people can't donate to a campaign.
Well, not just that, but it's hard to vote against Santa Claus.
It is hard to vote against Santa Claus, right?
And if the government is giving them what they need to sustain their life, you know, if they're on any of the entitlement programs, they don't want to lose any of that. And they don't want any auditing done either.
No. And he is not worried about putting people back to work. He likes to have people who want to be beholden to him. Yeah. And I'll be beholden to every voter, but you know, and that includes the folks who need jobs and want jobs.
You know, again, one of our faults, Mary and my faults, is we moved down here from
Massachusetts. She has no faults.
Yeah, well, we moved down here from Massachusetts, and Maura Healey just signed a bill allowing abortion right up to the point of birth. And my take on that is you're allowed to do an abortion right up to the point of birth, but if I was to kill puppies while they were being born, I would immediately go to jail. And I cannot reconcile their thought process. I know you're pro-life, and
I can't. It is. Imagine if that were a bald eagle.
Well, even with the other states and what they're doing on a federal level, I believe it was Virginia, just put a thing about the Electoral College where they want to give all of their electoral votes to the popular vote winner, and it. If you get into the House, I would sure hope you would go against that.
Oh, there are a number of states.
There
are a number of states that have done that.
Right.
And what they don't understand the value of the Electoral College.
Mary, they understand.
They understand.
They just think it works better for Democrats. They don't really care about what's best for the country.
Yeah.
They understand how the Electoral College. The problem is that the American people don't understand how the Electoral College works.
It works just like the North Carolina State Republican Convention. Craven County gets overruled by Wake County, Mecklenburg County. And what we get diluted.
Well, you have to watch out for mob rule. And our founding fathers were very much aware of mob rule. And as time went by, they saw it happen in the French Revolution, et cetera, et cetera. And they're they grew up or came from or one generation removed from countries of monarchies and mob rules.
Which is why we have a republic, not a democracy.
Amen.
And every time I hear one of our elected officials say democracy, I want to throw up and say, you can't fix stupid.
The police just found a guillotine in the back of somebody's pickup truck.
Oh.
I think it was in Virginia.
Are you kidding?
A guillotine?
Uh-huh. Wow. The DSA is on the job.
You know, I'm also going to say, we hear that we are a constitutional republic, but we are based on the Declaration of Independence. With those principles listed in the Declaration of Independence.
The Constitution says we are to guarantee the states a republican form of government.
That's right. That's very interesting and very well said. Mm-hmm. So it does bring into question, how does Congress work in the states to ensure that happens?
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, for me, it's sort of the same thing about life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness, which is why life is important to me.
Yeah, it kills me. The socialists don't realize that their rights are granted by God and the government cannot take them away.
Exactly.
And if you are all in for government, then what the government gives, the government can take away.
But, you know, you've seen that under Maoism, under communism, under Marxism.
Under COVID.
God is the first to go.
But what are we teaching our kids in school? We are not building the foundation for the next generation to have these values.
Well, you look at 12 years ago when many of us at this panel were fighting against Common Core.
Oh, yes.
The things that we were saying, it happened right after the revision of the American Advanced Placement U.S. History class, and we fought it at the state level. We testified in front of the Education Oversight Committee about it, and it was exactly right. They made everybody a victim. Obama wasn't in it. Neither was Ben Franklin. And this was like 12 years ago we were fighting this.
Yes.
No.
Yes. We fought this battle.
And we lost. We thought we won with some of the Common Core stuff, but they knew our names up at the State House. They knew us.
Well, that's why I think staying in education as Republicans is so important. We need to stay focused on education.
We need to get really back into the education, yeah.
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 I agree.
We spent a lot of time just letting somebody else do that job.
Mm-hmm.
And I know as conservatives, generally, we don't want to be involved in the government. We want the government to go along. No, folks, we got to be involved, and we especially have to be involved in voting. On that, we're going to take a quick break to hear from our sponsors and supporters. This is CCTA Wake Up Call.
At Professional Auto Service, keeping vehicles in top form and running well isn't just their business, it's the passion of folks who work there. If baling wire and duct tape is good enough, don't go near them. But if you take pride in your vehicle and reliability is important, go to 2215 Country Club Road in New Bern and let Professional Auto take care of your vehicle. You'll be pleased. That's Professional Auto Service, Country Club Road, New Bern.
Other restaurants claim their food is fresh and fast, but are they friendly? At Moore's, you're treated like family the minute you walk into their doors. With locations in Winterville, New Bern, Swansboro, Moorhead City, and Jacksonville, we've been practicing what we preach since 1945. At Moore's, our barbecue is slow-cooked and smoked over real wood daily until it's so tender it's falling off the bone. Combined with our fresh chicken, cooked-to-order seafood, and homemade fixins, we're sure you'll agree. If it's not Moore's, it's less.
Since 1952, the North Carolina Fisheries Association has been working to ensure access for fishermen and consumers to enjoy fresh local seafood. The North Carolina Fisheries Association is for fair, science-based fisheries management for commercial and recreational fishermen. If you agree with this philosophy, become a member. For more information, log on to ncfish.org. For fresh North Carolina seafood, there's no better place than B&J Seafood, Highway 70 East in New Bern.
The County Compass is a rapidly growing, free weekly newspaper throughout eastern North Carolina. At the County Compass, we believe small business is the future of our great nation. Many small business owners have discovered that an ad in the County Compass each week is the most effective, the most affordable way to reach thousands of readers from all walks of life. At the County Compass, we focus entirely on local and regional news, coverage of important issues that directly affect your life. At the County Compass, we love our readers and we love our advertisers. This Thursday and every Thursday at more than 750 distribution points throughout Eastern North Carolina, pick up your free copy of the County Compass newspaper.
He's going to go home with you.
Welcome back to the CCTA. Let's start over. Welcome back to the CCTA Wake Up Call Show. Thank you for visiting our sponsors and supporters and listening. Laurie, I guess, what did you want to do? You want
the
to
cybersecurity stuff. Cybersecurity. The master's degree.
Electronic warfare.
Electronic warfare.
Drones. Stuff like
talk
that.
Talk to
drones,
us about that.
Because I was worried about the drones that are working on a fiber wire.
So I had an interesting background and became kind of unicorny, if you will. Ended up in electronic warfare. I had a background in RF technology, radio frequency, antenna wave theory, et cetera.
You're a geek.
I'm a geek, and I really got into it. And so when I was still in the Army, we were getting blown up with IEDs in Iraq, and I ended up going back to the Joint Staff on my reassignment and worked with some Navy Prowler guys who are Navy electronic warfare officers, right, and enlisted folks. Anyway, they were looking at it from the airborne point of view, and I was thinking about it from the ground point of view to stop IEDs. We started working together and created some really great technologies and ideas to stop IEDs from killing troops. But staying with that, though, it's a next step into counter-drone technologies, drone capabilities, because most of them are guided by radio frequency. Now, you just mentioned the drone war that we have coming up with, pulling fiber optics and things like that, so they're not. Now, that, of course, puts a physical limit on one.
On the distance, yeah.
On the distance, of course it does. But one of the big challenges we're having right now, I'll jump, is that we are using Patriot missiles to take out. Whoop, God, we are using, I'm pounding on the table. I'm like, don't pound on the table. It's really loud. So we are using Patriot missiles to take out drones. Yeah. Big old expensive
and
Patriots.
That's expensive.
We need to have better counter-drone technologies. Secretary Hegseth is working on that right now. I was in Assistant Secretary of War last year for about 6 months, and that was one of the top things that we recognize as a gap. So we're doing good things in that area. We're doing great things in the cyber defense area and even greater things in the cyber offense area, which I can't even talk about, but it's just, it's too sexy for this room. I'm going to tell you that right now. It's very cool. So
you mentioned which committees that you're interested in serving
on. Yeah. So agriculture, of course, got to sit the Ag Committee, got to sit the Veterans Affairs Committee. I'd be very interested in sitting either House Armed Services or House Appropriations Defense Subcommittee. I'd be delighted to sit that. Not many freshmen get it, but I've got years of defense budgeting under my belt. And if I could get that, it would make a huge difference in this district in being able to work to send businesses and funding and stuff down this way, because it's a very powerful committee.
Good idea.
I'd like to do good things for this district.
Yeah, good idea.
Well, again, we need more industry to support more.
We do.
Military industry right here. We've got the military folks. We've got the retirees that understand the systems. And
Absolutely. This is an employee-rich environment with really great folks, and I think there's a lot we could do. But, you know, look at some of the poorer counties like Bertie and places like that. Mm-hmm. They've had businesses closed down, and they've lost industry, lost forestry industry, et cetera, during COVID and then during Biden and the housing crises brought about by Democrat presidents and bad loans. So we need to get that going again, too, and get industries going again in some of these poor counties, so people can afford to have homes there.
What's the biggest distinguishing policy between you and your opponent?
I am pro-growth. I'm pro-growth. I'm pro-capitalism. I believe capitalism is the greatest engine that has ever lifted people out of poverty. I'm not about socialism. And in fact, there are so many things that make us very different. For instance, He voted against the Born Alive Act when he was down here in the legislature, but he calls himself a pastor. I'm not somebody who's going to call myself one thing and then do another. He is beholden to his paycheck. So he's up there, and he's got to stay in Congress at all costs because he's never had a real job. He has been a professional politician for 25 years. I've never been a politician. I'm doing this to fight for people. He's doing it for a paycheck. He takes votes that do not stand on moral or principle or for his constituents. He takes the votes that Hakeem Jeffries allows him to take. That's not going to be my stance at all. So the differences are many between he and I.
And again, as you said, you need that contact with your constituents also.
You do.
To understand what is needed in the district.
Exactly, exactly. So, you know, I've already talked to farmers and I've talked to other groups, farmers, fishermen, recreational fishermen, et cetera, about setting up kitchen table councils for me so I can have kitchen table cabinet advisors so I can call my farm council and say, hey, I need you six guys to talk to me, talk to each other, and come back to me with some thoughts about this bill.
Now, this is a very big district.
It is.
And certain areas are very sparse in population, but still they need the representation.
They do. They do.
So what are your feelings on term limits when you talked about him being in office for so long? Where do you see yourself in the future? Do you see this as the next 20-year thing for you? Or do
absolutely you not. I'm a big term limits fan, to tell you the truth.
Should be 80-something.
Well, really, look at the people that are in office that are already.
I wish her around in a wheelchair.
I am not going to be Nancy Pelosi. Absolutely freaking not. No, I'm a big term limits fan. 2 terms or 3 terms max. If I'm blessed to get elected and reelected, then it's done.
I Congress looks that. Like an old folks' home right
It really
now.
Does. It really it's does. Not. Yeah. It's not
You're
right.
All doddering away.
It is not right. I'm a big believer in term limits. That keeps Congress fresh. It keeps
new ideas.
Yeah, it keeps new ideas.
I think the longer you're in office, the more beholden. That was your word. You
yeah.
become to other people
and big money.
Big money.
But if you're going to term limit representatives and senators, you need to take a really good look at their staffs. And whether you need to term limit them to some degree also.
I believe that that's the core of the matter because they're...
Entrenched.
Yeah, entrenched is the right word. And you can move elected people in and out. But if you don't root that out,
the deep
you
state.
Get more of the same. So
well,
I think
many,
that's critical.
How many times have I heard a military officer who was stationed at the Pentagon say in dealing with the civilian force there, well, they knew I was only going to be there a year or two, so they pretty much did what they wanted to.
You know, I'll tell you, I kind of had that problem a little bit in the beginning when I got to the Pentagon this last stint last summer. I took care of a couple of folks very, very quickly, and I made sure that they were gone.
And that's hard to do.
Well, you know
civilian.
What? Our representatives, if they're elected, especially term-limited ones, you better be tough. You better get up there and be ready to give and take a punch because, there are a lot of entrenched people in D.C., and you need to be willing to fight against that, and you need to have good judgment. I mean, I would expect our elected representatives to go up there. I know that I am kind of, you know, I've lived a few years, had a couple things. Like our founding fathers, I've had a job, I've raised a family, I've served in the military. And I think the founding fathers, not to go down a rabbit hole, but our founding fathers, I don't believe, thought anyone was going to be a career politician up there. It was always seen as a part-time job, you know, mm-hmm. and an honor. But if you get up there, you better have the discernment to know when you're having the wool pulled over your eyes. And those are the people who need to be fired with enthusiasm. Mm.
One of the most amazing magazine articles ever written was in Forbes magazine, written by George McGovern after he left office.
Mm.
He opened a bed and breakfast,
oh, wow.
which failed. And he wrote an article about if I had understood the impact on business of the laws I was signing before I had a business, I would never have signed them. And I think that's unfortunately where we are.
I have run a business, and I have run it, started it from scratch, raided my own 401k to make payroll my first year. First year, you're running a business, it's almost always a loss. Mm-hmm. And so I know what it's like. I know. And I know the laws that were killing me and the ones that I could live with.
And you know the difference between running an efficient business versus dealing with the bureaucracy.
That's right.
That runs based on check blocks or whatever.
So I'm hearing that you think that the businesses should be able to run as a business and not be dictated by so many regulatory agencies.
Oh, my gosh. You know what? Trump came in and his first administration was, we're going to get rid of 10 regulations for everyone that gets passed. And that's a big deal about Congress, too. Knowing the legislation not to make, but that to get rid of.
The unelected, unaccountable bureaucrats.
Exactly.
That's what Glenn said, the people that are sitting in the background.
Could not agree more. Absolutely. We need to cut regulation, cut. Too much, too many bureaucrats running around, being able to tell us how to live our lives. It's not coming down from Congress.
Lori, thank you for coming on the show.
Thank you. I love you guys. Since we first met, you guys are just a delight. I am. When you said, what's the name of this show? The
CCTA Wake Up Call.
No, the Wake Up Call, but it's also the Granny.
Right Wing Granny.
Man, I tell you what, I was like, I'm coming on this show now.
Did you know her mantra is about not being old enough for a rocking chair is one of her mantras.
That's right, sister.
I've got my card says not quite ready for the rocking
chair. I have your card. I love it. I said, I'm coming on this show. And this is great because you know what happens when you're a little bit older? You're unfiltered.
That is so true. You lose your filter.
I like being unfiltered. I want people to know exactly who I am.
Right.
I'm not afraid. I know why I'm running.
Well, you know, I know that I have the right to remain silent. I just haven't the ability.
That's right.
Well, hey, I just want to thank you guys so much. Are there any last questions that you want to toss my way before I have to get back on the road and do more visiting?
Well, again, you've covered a large district. I know we've met you a number of different times down here, and I'm not sure how many miles you've put on, but I do.
Tens of thousands.
Thank you for your travels.
My pleasure. My honor.
You could be the Scott Brown of North Carolina. I don't know if you know
I
that.
I do.
With his little truck.
That's right.
So one of the first things, how can the constituents, the future constituents, get in touch with you and your organization? First off,
What's your website?
It's all the same. It's www.laurie, L-A-U-R-I-E, last name Buckout, B-U-C-K-H-O-U-T, for Congress, all one word, lauriebuckoutforcongress.com. And in there, you will see contact to reach out. It goes to an email that I see every single one that comes in. And I ride my staff's great, but occasionally I'm like, hey, have you guys answered this one? Every once in a while, I'll pop in and say, this one has not been opened yet. I need somebody to take care of it. And if they don't, I read them and make sure we're all good. But my staff's fantastic. But and you can donate on there as well. I would love donations. Don Davis has the Soros machine behind him. I have the voters behind me.
We the people.
We the people. I have we the people behind me. And so we do need some of the we the people's money.
And we the people need to come out and vote.
And we the people need to come out and vote. If you were a Democrat, I'd tell you to dig up Granny, but we're not playing that game.
And again.
Yeah, we can't say early and often.
That's right.
And again, as a 501c3 organization, we cannot endorse you as a candidate. As individuals, you know, we have the ability to do what we want. And going up public. Again, Lori, I thank you very much for coming here. This is CCTA Wake Up Call. We'll be back.
Thank you.
Other restaurants claim their food is fresh and fast, but are they friendly? At Moore's, you're treated like family the minute you walk into their doors. With locations in Winterville, New Bern, Swansboro, Moorhead City, and Jacksonville, we've been practicing what we preach since 1945. At Moore's, our barbecue is slow-cooked and smoked over real wood daily until it's so tender it's falling off the bone. Combined with our fresh chicken, cooked-to-order seafood, and homemade fixins, we're sure you'll agree. If it's not Moore's, it's less.
Round here, folks like to talk to each other, get to know you, look you in the eye, and see that you care. We call it the human touch. Whether you were born here or moved here really doesn't matter as far as we're concerned. You're from round here, and since 1905, folks like you have been calling folks like us for their auto, home, life, and business insurance. So come see us, or just give us a call, and we'll get you the best insurance protection possible at a real affordable price. We're Robinson & Stith Insurance because when you really need help, you'll want somebody from round here.
Please join us at the CCTA Business and Social Meeting. We meet the fourth Thursday each month, Moore's Old Time Barbecue on Dr. MLK Boulevard in New Bern, 6:30 to 8 p.m. Your presence and participation are greatly appreciated.
At Professional Auto Service, keeping vehicles in top form and running well isn't just their business. It's the passion of folks who work there. If baling wire and duct tape is good enough, don't go near them. But if you take pride in your vehicle and reliability is important, go to 2215 Country Club Road in New Bern and let Professional Auto take care of your vehicle. You'll be pleased. That's Professional Auto Service, Country Club Road, New Bern.
Welcome back again. Thank you for listening and visiting our sponsors and supporters.
Well, speaking of the staff, didn't save Darlene Graham from putting her foot in her mouth during that debate. Mm. Everybody said, "Well, she's got Lindsay's staff. She'll be fine."
But did she win?
Yes, she did.
Well,
surprised.
Well, I'm sad about that because I think if she had to run on her brother's name, hadn't made a name for herself. I think it's sad that she had to run on his coattails and the sympathy vote. And Ralph Norman was one of the few who stuck up for we the people during COVID. Mm-hmm. And I think he had the experience. I think he would have been a better candidate. That's my opinion.
That's mine, too.
Well, I'm willing to...
Hey, we agree on something.
I'm willing to...
Write it down.
I'm willing to wait and see what happens next.
Yes.
Well, she should have run on her own name.
Okay. Well, that's probably true, but she couldn't have done that.
No, she couldn't.
And on that note, Bob, where are we going?
So again, you wanted to go off to...
Lindsay. The murder trial for the woman that strangled her three kids.
And the psychology of both sides.
Yeah, what the case is really about. She has admitted that she killed the children. So usually in a murder trial, the state has to prove beyond a reasonable doubt that you did the murder. Well, that issue is a non-starter in this trial. So she's admitted that. But her defense is psychosis, that she was psychotic because of postpartum depression. Well, in the common law, there's something called the McNaughton rule. When you're trying to say that you're insane, you don't know what you're doing, which makes you unable to form mens rea, the evil intent to commit the crime. The McNaughton rule says in order for you to prevail on that, you'd have to prove that you didn't know what you did was wrong. She has made comments and done things that indicate, yes, she knew killing those children was wrong. She had premeditation because she asked her husband to leave. She asked him to go get some medicine and some groceries so that she had time to kill them before he came back and could stop her. So when the articles I've read about this trial, they don't make comment on the McNaughton rule. They're not talking about what the defense is proving, that she knew what she did was wrong and she did it anyway. That is murder. Okay, that disproves psychosis. So to win on the defense, they have to prove she didn't know it was wrong because she was psychotic from postpartum depression. And what is really disturbing to me is I saw a video yesterday, and it's the two-lane road with the van coming in, taking her to court, and these women lined up in pink, cheering for her, cheering and waving and holding signs for Lindsay.
They've turned her into a victim.
And
I know that we've heard other things where everybody's pointing to every state agency or everybody else that had some dealing with this lady and that they all should have stopped her in advance. Why? Why?
Well, I didn't know this until I read this article this morning. She had a nanny. This is a above average income household. So for anybody that feels like, well, she couldn't handle three children and she had no help. No, she had plenty of help. She had private insurance, so she had doctors, she had medicine, she had counseling available to her, she had a nanny to take the actual care of the children off her hands. There is no excuse for what this woman did.
I feel like she's not a victim. I'm not saying that. But it seems like there were a lot of agencies and people prescribing pills and whatever.
Agencies? No.
Doctors.
Doctors prescribing pills. And I don't think she got the help she needed. That being aside...
What do you base that on, Mary?
The fact that she killed her kids. I mean, it seems like somebody somewhere along the line should have picked up on that.
No, let me stop you there. There is no medicine that removes the evil in the human heart. And to kill those three children is evil.
But isn't there a doctor who could say, this woman is a danger to those kids, let's lock her up?
What about her husband?
Yeah.
Wouldn't he have known how unstable she was? And I had heard that there were statements that she had made in emails that she had sent different people. And I would think her husband would know what her mental state was. And if he was concerned about her, why would he leave her home alone with those children?
And
why
I
are
feel
we blaming
like
the husband?
We're not. We're just saying
you
that.
You are.
No, we're saying he should have been more. There were a lot of people, I think, that could have been more observant. That being said, this woman does not belong out on the street. She belongs either in a mental institution or in jail. I don't see another option.
Or in a chair that lights up.
I'm gonna agree with you. That lighten up chair, that's a good chair.
But, you know, she does not...
You're making her a victim.
I don't...
Why didn't her husband figure it out? Why didn't her doctor figure it out? Why didn't the friends figure it out? How about the nanny?
But that doesn't change the fact that I want to put her in a mental institution or in jail.
I don't think
it
makes her a victim, but I think that what it does do is points out the insufficiency or inefficiency of the powers that were involved,
yes,
i.e. the doctors. She
yes.
was taking multiple antipsychotic medicines, multiples. So somebody should have been accountable to, she was a
That's
danger to her.
That's not the way murder trials work.
No, I'm saying she should have been held accountable by a doctor saying, I have a personal friend whose daughter-in-law tried to kill herself when she was pregnant with a child. And they involuntarily committed her.
Mm-hmm.
And this is my best friend's son, so I'm speaking on a personal basis. That girl was kept in a mental hospital until she was deemed safe to be around her husband and her children.
Yeah.
And your point is?
My point is that mental health officials stepped in and took care of something that could have been a very negative
thing.
It.
I think you guys are giving way too much credit to so-called mental health professionals.
Well, I think we're giving way too much credit to the media, because the media, this has become front page and stayed front page for the longest time.
Okay, let's move on.
Okay.
I wanted to talk about the ballroom. The ballroom, the people that are suing over this is a bunch of preservation people and one woman that lives in D.C. that walked by the site and didn't like what she saw.
Well, construction sites never look good.
I know. And so there was a question of whether the Trump administration argued these people don't have standing. The fact that this woman walked by and said, I don't like the way this looks, does not give her standing to stop a national security construction effort. So at any rate, the court, whichever court they had gone to, had issued a stay, no construction.
So you're saying the court made this issue based on the word of somebody that really didn't have a standing.
That's what Trump's administration argument is. These people have no standing.
Therefore, the court had no.
Not only that lady in particular, but historically, because nobody has asked for permission to change the White House. I mean, Truman gutted it down to the slats.
Yes.
And redid the entire interior And then we've had, you know, the bowling alley, we've got the basketball court, we've had the pool, we've had built the Oval Office. I mean, it's just over and over and over when you look in history that presidents have made these upgrades without any participation by Congress. And all of a sudden, because it's Trump, now it's up to Congress. Well, Congress' main deal is the money. The money's not coming from Congress. So I think Trump was pretty smart to include the underground national security element because that's playing a big part in why the Supreme Court just recently overturned the stay. And it's just a real short order, and it's signed by Chief Justice Roberts, and it says that construction can continue until further order of this court, and it doesn't predict when that will be. It's 65% done, and it's coming in under budget and before ahead of schedule. So I think we're waiting for the issue to become moot. In other words, it will be done before it goes back to court, and then legally it's a moot issue because the thing's been built. Now, today I read an article that Larry Krasner, who you may not recognize his name, but he is the district attorney in Philadelphia. He is a Soros-backed district attorney. He is a lefty. He said that in 10 years, he will have a new paperweight on his desk, and it will be a piece of the ballroom because they will have blown it up.
And replaced it with what?
Well, he didn't go that far. He's just going to blow it up. You know, but my point is, as a former district attorney, why is a district attorney of a big city like Philadelphia talking about blowing up a federal structure?
Making a comment like that at all.
That is so inappropriate.
It's inappropriate. It's out of hand.
Well, some of the thing when you were talking about standing, usually standing has to be how you were personally impacted by whatever it is that happened. The old historical part of that building is already gone, already destroyed. So stopping construction of the new ballroom accomplishes what?
It removes any lasting Trump legacy. I mean, let's be real.
Oh, it's about the legacy. You mean like the ugly Obama library?
Or the ugly Obama basketball court that cost $300 million.
Okay. Before we go, I want to talk a little bit. This week, we lost Dolly Parton, who was an American icon. She really was. And my favorite quote from her was when she was asked about being called a dumb blonde. And she said, "I'm not dumb, nor am I a blonde." And I just thought she had the perfect answer. Certainly, she is an example of the American dream. She came out of a one-room house with no plumbing and gave money to kids to learn how to read, to go to college.
Because her daddy didn't know how to read or write. And he was thrilled that she took on that philanthropy.
Well, I think that was amazing. I really do. I think she is a... She is an example of generosity. She is an example of the fact if you want to accomplish something and you're willing to work for it, you can accomplish. I mean, she's the American dream.
And I'll miss her.
And she was great in Steel Magnolias.
She was. Actually, she was also good in 9 to 5.
So. Yeah, she was good in 9 to 5.
I liked her duets with Kenny Rogers myself.
Yes.
Yeah, those were good.
Yeah.
There's so much to say.
She will be missed.
About Dolly, yes.
She will be missed.
It was a big shock when I saw that online.
Yes.
I didn't even know that she was ill.
Well, she tried to hide that, I think, from
the public. Was it cancer?
Yes. And I did not realize she was 80.
She looked good.
Yeah, looked she did.
Good. Folks, on that, we're going to end the show. And thank you for listening. And thank you for the time with Lori Buckhout here. And also just our ability to just talk about some other things right now. You have a great week. This is CCTA Wake Up Call.